Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Cubby's Crib podcast on the Fansided Network. This is your host, Alex Pat, alongside Adam McGinnis, as usual. And tonight, we have a special guest on our show. What? It's Eric Morrow, our very own writer from Cubby's Crib. We always like to bring on guests around, especially ones that, you know, we talk to and work with every day. So, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you, man. And I guess I better say hi to Adam. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Yeah, just say hi to Adam over here. Just forget about
me.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Adam's here, too. Yay.
Yeah.
Don't mind me.
I guess
I'll just be listening.
Well, today is going to be a rather interesting show. We would like to talk a lot of Cubs baseball, but frankly, there hasn't been a lot of it because of these mass postponements. A lot of games being either snowed out, rained out, or the temperature was just too low. So we've only played a few games this past week, though some of the games we will talk about, we're going to go into some detail, and I'm sure you can think of one of the games that I'm referencing to. We're also going to talk a little nostalgia, some Chris Bryant nostalgia here. There's a good reason for it. We're also going to talk about some varying opinions around all about the weather that has been plaguing MLB so poorly, and lots more. So stick around for a good show. All right, boys, let's dive into it. We had a homestand. The teams that we faced were the Pirates, then the Braves, then the Cardinals. Unfortunately, like I said, a lot of those games were postponed due to weather. We only played two games instead of three against the Braves, only one against the Cardinals. The finale is going to be tomorrow. We did get all the Pirates games in, but the home opener was indeed moved a day. So before we kind of move into the big stuff, the home opener, it was a loss, but kind of give me your overall thoughts on the home opener day. Does it still feel special to you? Eric, let's start with you.
It does. Home opener always feels special because it means that the season is just here again. Baseball's back, and it's, you know, the greatest season of the year. So home opener is great. Like, players can get all their awards from the previous season, and all the fans are out and everyone's just there having a good time. And a win would always top it off, but sometimes the ball just doesn't fire away. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, they did not win that game. It was kind of a frustrating one. They had an early lead, kind of let it slip away. Tyler Chatwood, his command looked better, but a lot of what he was throwing was getting hit. Not all of it was hard. A lot of it was just kind of BABIP against. So that was kind of frustrating. Adam, did you have any thoughts on the home opener?
Besides that, I'm trying to just completely forget about it. Not really. I was kind of up and down with Tyler Chatwood. I wanted to think that he pitched better than he had been. You know, walks are his biggest issue. That's pretty plain for us all right now. Only one walk in that game, seven strikeouts, but nine hits, five earned runs. Not his best. Even worse, his last start with the walks. Those got to come down.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll get more into Tyler Chatwood in a little bit because we have several starts to cover with him. But overall, they lost 2-3 against the Pirates. The one game that they did have that was good was the one that they won when we were on the air last week. It was the Wednesday night in which they were down 3-0, and then they took the lead 4-3, and then they tied it. And then when we got off the air, it was like an explosion of runs. And one of the main people we want to talk about on this show tonight is Javier Baez, because he has been killing it like no other. Baez hit two home runs in that win against the Pirates. He hit two more in that loss against the Pirates, the opening day loss. Just to kind of talk about Javier Baez, Eric, are you impressed with the way he's played so far, just in general?
You know, every season I feel like it's a broken record about Baez, and either like, wow, he made that play, or like, but what really is impressive is the bat just keeps improving. Like, when he first came up, he was lost. He would just go up there and hack at three and go sit down. And then, like, now he'll work counts. He'll reach out and foul a pitch off. And just the guy keeps developing and getting better. And is this the season he finally breaks out, you know, just becomes like a huge star that everyone knows he can be?
Yeah, you know, he's shown a bit more discipline at the plate. Is he ever going to be a high walk rate guy? No, but we have seen better discipline. Adam, what do you think about Javier Baez? What's impressed you the most? Is it the power? Is it the discipline? Is it just kind of the slugging in general, whether it's doubles or extra base hits? What are you impressed with so far?
As usual with Javi Baez, I'm just impressed generally with his enthusiasm and the way he plays. He's such a workhorse, and he's slugging .667 right now. If you look at his stats, the only unimpressive thing on there is batting average. And this early in the season, you know, he's 1-2-for-4 day away from that batting average looking really good. But lots of power so far already, 5 home runs, 16 RBI. And yeah, I agree with Eric. His eye is getting a little better, it seems.
Yeah, it really is. We saw in that Milwaukee series kind of the beginning of his better eye so far this season. Like I said, he's never going to be like a huge walk guy, but if you want to see a little bit of improvement, I think that would be a huge win, just because he is normally a free swinger. But, you know, he still puts up good power numbers. His batting average the last 2 years has been in the 270s, and for a free swinger, that's pretty good. And if you can have like an on-base percentage with that free swing, you know, around like the 320 average, I think you're going to take that. For a player like that, you are absolutely going to take that. It's also funny because he could have had a home run, two home runs. He did hit a home run last night, but he could have had two. The wind absolutely killed one, and he probably could have gotten 4-for-4, but he still had a really good night despite the loss. So, yeah, Javier Baez looks really good. There wasn't really much else to talk about that Pirates series. The game finale, they really didn't hit much. So that was kind of frustrating, but, you know, we'll move on from that. Then became the Braves. They came to Wrigley Field. They lost the rough one 4-0. Guys, what was your thoughts on the Yu Darvish start? Adam, we'll start with you this time. Yu Darvish, he pitched a few scoreless innings. The command didn't look amazing, but, you know, it got him through the first few innings, and then things kind of fell apart. Is there anything that kind of worries you about him, or do you think it was just cold weather, didn't go so well, just move on type of thing?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there a little bit. You got to keep in mind this is a new team for him. It might take a little while for him to build up a better kind of rapport with Wilson Contreras. And I almost wonder if they'll bring up Jimenez at some point to be his personal catcher, since they're pretty well acquainted with each other. But overall, I'm not too worried about Yu Darvish. I still think it's early enough that we can't read too much into shaky outings like that. So I think he'll pick it up.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Eric, what do you think?
It's only been 3 starts, and he's really good early on. If there's one cause for concern I have with the Darvish going forward, it's the snowball effect for him. We saw it in Miami, a couple of bloop hits, you know, like led to a walk and then 3 runs. And then against the Braves, Bock led to a wild pitch, which led to a few walks and then a long home run. But on that, but in the Braves game, it was cold, and at that point, he was already at about 90 pitches, so he was probably out of energy. But I'm still going to. I still think he'll be key and he'll be really good, but if he can avoid the snowballing in his starts, he will take the next step.
Yeah, I can agree with that, because sometimes you'll see he gets on a roll and then one little thing will happen, you know, things kind of go downhill. Luckily, that didn't really happen in the Milwaukee start. He gave up the one hit to Eric Thames, the home run, and then he just kind of sailed right back in. But yeah, we've seen that happen several times, so we want that to kind of be reduced. And hopefully as time goes on, that will, because we did see some pretty good breaking stuff from him in that start against Atlanta. Unfortunately, things just kind of went south. This kind of gets into the game the next day, which relates to our poll question, which I'm going to read really quick right now. Basically, what I asked was on Twitter, does the starting pitching and the inconsistency of it, because let's face it, it has not been the most consistent. We've seen good starts, fair starts, and bad starts from all the guys. Does it concern you? And pretty much the answers that I had people choose from was, nah, they'll be fine, or a little but not much, and yes, I'm worried. So the results were 37% said, nah, they'll be fine, 55%, the majority said a little but not much, and then 8% said, yes, I'm worried. I think that a little but not much is probably a fair assessment, just because there are a few factors here that you do legit worry about. Lester's age, Chatwood's command. That does worry you a little bit, but, you know, maybe it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm panicking. Adam, what are your opinions on that? What would you have voted for?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the a little but not too much camp. I think the BABIP is really high, and so the runs
it is
that they're giving up, it's going to come down a little bit. What I'm most concerned with at this point is how long the starters are going. The Cubs really need to get more innings out of their starters. The bullpen seems to be holding up pretty well still, but that's not going to be the case all year long if we can't get more than five innings for each start from these guys.
Yeah, Eric, what would you have voted for?
The same, a little, but not much. But I noticed the other day, and Hendricks is starting against the Pirates, that he's back down to 86-87 again, and that was part of his problem. Well, I guess it wasn't really a problem. He was still effective, but it was part. He's back down to 86-87 again, which kind of it was a cause for concern last season, and he got hit around a little bit in some starts. And in 2016, he was consistently, you know, like 89 and sometimes he touched 90. And so the changeup at 73 to 75 looks a lot different if you're throwing 89 to 90 instead of, you know, 86, 87.
You know, I'm really glad, Eric, that you brought up Kyle Hendricks, because that was an interesting topic of conversation I had online the other day. What I was kind of saying was, is, you know, he's still getting a lot of soft contact and a lot of effective outs, but you're seeing a lot of home runs hit off him. And it seems like to me that he's making more mistakes over the plate. And, you know, Hendricks is obviously never going to be a velocity guy, but his velocity at times has been a little down, kind of like it was last year, and he followed through pretty okay. So that's why I'm not worried about that, but he's the kind of guy that can't afford to make those kind of mistakes. You can afford to make those mistakes if you throw 95 plus, but when you throw upper 80s or 90, those mistakes are going to get punished more often than not. So that's what kind of makes it a little more complicated with him. He's making a few more mistakes over the plate. We've seen where he doesn't really get borderline calls, and then the next pitch he'll really try to get it over and it gets too much plate. I'm not as worried about him, but hey, we'll just try to work through this now. Unfortunately, it's something that happens through guys like that that don't really rely on velocity. They rely more on movement and location. But I do think that it's going to be okay eventually with him. I'm really glad you brought that up. And you also got – both you guys, I think, brought up the batting average of balls in play. Against Cubs starting pitching, it's the fourth highest in baseball at 313, which really doesn't surprise me because it seems like every blooper and ground ball is finding a hole. The way I see it is, though, it's eventually going to even out. So hopefully the BABIP yips just kind of get over with soon, because that would be really nice. And against the Cubs bullpen, the BABIP is a little different, actually. In fact, against the bullpen, it's 24, so it's much lower against the bullpen. So we'll see. Hopefully that evens out sooner than later. Some of those ground balls and bloopers will turn into outs. Maybe it's defensive positioning. I don't know. Sometimes it happens because baseball is weird. But I'm glad you guys brought that up. So this is going to lead us into that crazy game on Saturday, a 14-10 comeback win. They were down 10-2 at one point, 10-3. I got to ask both of you, were you guys watching that game?
Yes.
Full disclosure, I turned it off at like 9-1 because I had some homework to do and I was with family that day. But I got home and I saw that it was like 10-4 and there was a guy on third, and so I turned it on.
Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
You go.
Well, I was just going to say, I was kind of like Adam, where I was watching it, and then the score got really bad. It was very frustrating. Quintana was making some great pitches early on the corners. He wasn't getting the call, and then the pitches started moving over the plate. The Braves were crushing it. Next thing you knew, it was like a 9-1 deficit. So I'm like, okay, this is just yuck. They may call the game anyway because of the weather. The weather was just terrible that day. So I left. I did some laundry. I saw they got a few runs on the board, so I'm like, okay, you know, score some garbage runs. Then I went off to do something else, and then all of a sudden, Baez was coming up with the bases loaded, and then it was tied, and the game was back on, and then everything just kind of went down. 9 runs in that inning, and most of it was walks. And you can't really blame much of the pitching of the Braves, because my goodness, that it was so cold, so bad to pitch a baseball. I couldn't imagine gripping a baseball in that kind of weather. What was your guys' reaction when that whole thing was going down? Eric, we'll start with you.
When the eighth inning was happening, or the fact that they played the game in its entirety?
Yeah, no kidding.
I was honestly like just kind of in shock. Good way. I saw Baez get the double, and I didn't really like jump around like I normally do. I'm just like, oh my, that really happened. Huh. And then the Braves still couldn't throw a strike, and I do want to say, in that game, it's a credit to the Cubs bats because in a 10-4 game or whatever it was in cold weather, a lot of the pitches that the Braves were throwing were just easy to swing at and get the game over, and the Cubs just didn't even do that. And I think that takes a lot to, you know, on a cold day and rain, just to keep going at it.
Yeah, for sure. Adam, what were you thinking? I was kind of like Eric. I was in shock, and then I was really happy after they took the lead, kind of clapping and going crazy. What about you?
Yeah, what did they score, like 12 unanswered runs in that game or something?
Yeah,
11 or 12.
Like
some, yeah, something like that. I'll be honest, I didn't turn the game off, but I did kind of stop paying attention for a while, and then they got my attention again in the seventh when they were really starting to show me that they could actually hit the ball. But, yeah, that was a fun game to watch. Maybe Cubs fans might be mad at me for saying this, but I like Ozzie Albies a lot for the Braves. That guy's fun to watch.
That team is loaded. Like, that team is absolutely loaded with young talent, and Albies is one of those guys.
Yeah, the pitching's not good, but that lineup, that's got some potential. Dansby Swanson looks like he might be ready for a breakout year at last. And we've talked about this before. Freddie Freeman, one of the most underrated players in the league.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I have to go.
So, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oh, go ahead.
I have to go with Alex here. Albies is really good, but I didn't like him for two games. Now the series
fair
is
enough.
Going to love him again.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really bringing it to the Cubs that series with the bat, with the glove, with everything.
But that play he made on Kyle Schwarber's ground ball was insane.
Yeah, it was. It really was. I was just like, are you kidding me?
The velo on that was like 110 or something, I think they said, and he was still able to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when a play is that good, even if it's against your own team, if it's that great, you just can't help but sit back and just respect it and just sit in awe of it, because that kind of thing is fun to watch.
Yeah, it's really good for baseball, no doubt. So, yeah, that was an amazing win. It's probably going to be one we're going to be talking about for a long time. Then the finale, snowed out or cold out, whatever you want to call it. Then the beginning of the Cardinals series, same thing. They played last night. They lost 5-3, very frustrating game. Tyler Chatwood had some nasty stuff, and yet he also walked seven guys. So it was a very odd start again. What are your guys' overall thoughts on him? Because he's kind of hard to pin down.
I don't really have any thoughts on Tyler Chatwood anymore, except for the fact that he needs to bring his walks down. And what I mean by that is I just don't have any expectations. I never know what to expect. I think he could pitch like he did against, what was it, the Pirates, where he only walks one batter, but he gives up nine hits. I don't know if he's ever going to get his command under control. His stuff is really nasty. He's got a ton of movement on it. He can't throw for strikes. That he's not doing himself any favors.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Eric, what do you think of Tyler Chatwood?
I questioned the signing at first, and then I dug deeper into his numbers, and he was pretty good away from Coors Field.
Yep.
I mean, he's a five, so he'd serve his purpose. But I agree with Adam here. He's not gonna really be too effective in the long run if he cannot throw a strike.
And I'm sorry, but
if he keeps just putting guys on, eventually, you know, Cards only got two off him, but on like a warm summer day, that two will turn into seven.
Yeah, you can't really do that often. You can't walk seven guys and expect to get out of it every time, especially when the weather gets warmer. Guys are going to be slugging more. It's just really frustrating because you look at his stuff. The movement is nasty. That curveball is filthy. That two-seamer when he gets it over the plate, I don't know how anyone can hit that, because you notice that in his starts, no one's hitting him really hard. Like I said earlier, even the Pirates, not a lot was hit very hard. It was a lot of ground balls, bloopers that were falling in, and nothing was really crushed. Last night in his start, he didn't really do much to give up a lot of hard contact. He gave up the double off the wall to Matt Carpenter, but other than that, most of the damage was via the walk and not really hit hard. So that's what makes it really frustrating. So we'll see as time moves on. Hopefully he gets a little better. I don't think he'll ever be a great command pitcher, but you can hope that it's at least a little better. Moving on, Adam, I understand you have a new game for us to play.
Yes, this is called Are You Out of Your Mind? We'll go back and forth. I've got five picked out. Make a statement, and then the other person will say you are out of your mind, or they'll agree with you.
I love it. I love it. Why don't you start us off?
Okay. Tyler Chatwood should be moved to the bullpen. And keep in mind, it doesn't necessarily mean I agree with what I'm saying. I'm just throwing a statement out there.
Eric, I'll let you give your opinion first.
The first one, I'm going to say, are you out of your mind? Only for the simple fact that he started his whole career and he's an established starter. And the fact that they're paying him almost like $12 million. They're paying him over $12 million a year. That isn't really reliever money. Now, if it's the playoffs, I can totally see Joe, you know, giving him that long relief spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I should have clarified. I meant to sort of imply that this could be at any point in the season, because right now I would agree with you that Chatwood should not be moved out of the rotation. But as far as the money goes, I mean, Hayward's getting paid $20 million a year, and he's not even starting every day. So the Cubs have proven that money isn't necessarily a huge factor in whether or not guys get the playing time they should.
Yeah, you know, I mainly agree with what Eric said. It's kind of me saying, are you out of your mind, but it's not the craziest thing ever. I think he'll stay as a starter throughout the regular season. He would definitely be a valuable guy in the bullpen in a postseason scenario. And the other thing is that there's talks about six-man rotations moving forward because of all these postponements. So I think that's just another reason why I think it's, well, he's got to stay in there. So that's a good question. All right. Here is mine.
Here we go.
Boy, I got to think of something nuts.
Brace yourselves.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right, here we go. Kyle Hendricks is going to be the National League Cy Young when this is all said and done.
Woo-hoo. Who's going, me or Eric?
Eric, why don't you go ahead, buddy?
You know, if only we haven't seen this before. You're out of your mind. Only because the awards in baseball are given to the flashy guys.
Yes.
Well, like the guys who strike out a lot, or the guys who hit a lot of home runs or whatever, and just, you know, that Scherzer got it into 2016, which is fine. He deserved it. But, you know, Hendricks led the league in ERA,
mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he had a higher. I'm pretty sure Hendricks had a lower hip than Scherzer too. Let me check here quick. Hold on.
Did you say lower hip? Is that or whip?
2016, his FIP was 3.2. I don't know about Scherzer.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like his whip was lower, but I could be wrong.
Whip was 0.97. Okay, so I've got to go with Alex on this, and he's not crazy. Not crazy at all. Kyle Hendricks is the man. I am on that train. I picked it in our Cubby's Crib preseason predictions. I had Kyle Hendricks as my NL Cy Young winner, too. I don't know if I really believed that at the time or if I was just trying to be bold. But, yeah, if he can get his mechanics figured out and get that fastball up just a couple ticks, get his command straightened out, he could easily be in the running for that thing. And here's what he needs to do. If he wants to get the respect that he deserves, He needs to grow a beard, a sweet beard.
I agree with that.
Yeah, he's, what, 28 years old, but he looks like he's 19, maybe 18. He just needs a rugged look, and then people will fear him.
Rugged Kyle Hendricks. That's interesting. I kind of like that.
So I have it up here. In 2016, Hendricks had a lower FIP and a lower BABIP than Scherzer did, and Scherzer was only ahead of him by one WAR, and he still got it in a landslide. So not two on Hendricks' side, but
yeah, people care about strikeouts more than anything. That's the hot stat when it comes to pitchers.
And Scherzer had plenty of those.
Yeah,
strikeouts and home runs.
Yeah,
the game is now.
And you know, also, I think that a lot of people, this is just my thought, that a lot of analytical people that look at entire teams and look at Cy Young, even though it is an individual award, you notice that Cubs team in 2016 had a historically good defense. So anything that was put in play by Kyle Hendricks was A, not hit hard, and B, caught or fielded somehow. So what was going in play was just going for outs. I don't know. That's just my opinion, that how some analytics people would look at it. Either way, Kyle Hendricks was amazing that year, and I hope he can have, you know, another great year this year like he's had recently. Eric, do you have any other things you would like to add to this game? Do you have a "Are we out of our mind or not"?
Does it have to be Cubs related or not?
Hell no.
You make it anything.
I suggested this in our Slack chat the other day. The Phillies are going to trade Mikel Franco.
I don't think you're out of your mind on that one. I think Mikel Franco is not progressing the way people thought he would. And I'm sort of on the thought process now that he's just not going to be the star people thought he was going to be. I think at best he's going to end up being kind of a league average guy, maybe not even that.
Yeah, I remember you bringing that up. That was an interesting question, because I was looking at his stats and everyone was just going on and on how this guy was going to be the future of the Phillies. I mean, last year, 230, 281, 409. That's not very good. He did hit 24 home runs. He hit 25 the year before, but he's got a career on-base percentage of 300, a career average of 247. In 13 games this year, he's slashing 234, 283, 447. So I don't think you're really out of your mind either. Maybe a change of scenery will do him well, but I think it is fair to say that he is not developed like many people thought he would, because he was a pretty hot commodity his first few years, and he had a really good 2015. It was only 80 games, but 280, 343, 497, and at the age of 22, 14 home runs. Small sample size, but he looked pretty good then, and then unfortunately there really hasn't been much there. So yeah, I don't think you're really out of your mind. Luckily they have some other key guys that they're bringing up, so it's not like he's their only young asset. So we have 10 minutes left. Why don't we squeeze in one more? Adam, you get the honors of asking the last one.
Every MLB stadium should have a retractable roof.
Every team should?
Yes.
Oh. Eric, what are your thoughts?
You know, I can't say I disagree. I read something a couple days ago that the Twins actually asked for a retractable roof on Target Field, and
they did.
The city said that they don't want to pay for it. So, and you know, with Manfred being all gung ho about you know, you gotta play the games, you have to play the games, and I don't think it's a horrible idea.
Alex,
yeah, I mean,
what do you think?
That's a tough one because you know what? The way this weather has been going,
it's not tough.
What do you mean it's not tough? You think they should do it then? You think that they should absolutely do it, or are you the opposite?
No, that was a trick. I'm disappointed in you guys. Baseball should be played outside and only outside. If some games get canceled here and there, big whoop. Make them up.
Yeah, but
play
this
up
is a crazy amount of games being canceled.
This is an anomaly, though. Look, and I'm mad at Mother Nature, too. I did my part. I threw my plastic water bottle in the recycling bin. I did my part, but she still slapped us in the face and got us a bunch of baseball games canceled. But, no, baseball should be played outside. The only time baseball should be played inside is if you're playing PlayStation. But people who think they need to be playing baseball indoors, those are the people wearing fanny packs everywhere in public.
Hey, Adam, it isn't, not every game will be played inside. It's just for like the April games.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to close the roof. If they were retractable roofs, you could have them open in the nice weather, but it's probably a nice thing to have when the weather's bad and you could still play a game.
Yeah, but you know, retractable roofs can make an entire stadium look ugly. Like Miller Park, that's ugly. Minute Maid Park, people seem to love Minute Maid Park. Minute Maid Park sucks. Minute Maid Park is ugly. The Rogers Center doesn't have a retractable roof. It's just a dome all the time, but that's an ugly-looking place.
Actually,
too.
It is retractable.
It is a retractable roof.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is, isn't it? Because they didn't the ice, like, break their roof or something
yes.
a few days ago?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Regardless, it's a horrible-looking stadium. Just an abomination.
Oh, terrible.
Disgrace to the game.
Then don't look up. Just look at the field. Just don't
oh,
look
okay.
up.
Oh, okay.
Do we have time for one more of these quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah, let it
yes.
The Rays are purposely trying to tank so they can move to Montreal.
The Braves?
Rays.
Oh, the Rays.
Yeah.
No, maybe management would want to do that, but I don't think the players can ever really get in a mindset of intentionally losing. And even if the higher-ups tell them to, I don't think they would follow through and do it. But, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about the management.
As far as whether they should be leaving, yeah. Tampa Bay should not have a baseball team. Nobody goes to the games. Their uniforms are terrible. Their ballpark is terrible. There's no fans. Everything about that franchise is just in the toilet. I don't know if they should go to Montreal, though. I'm kind of, you know, Canada can do its own thing. They don't need to have another baseball team.
Good grief. to answer your question, Eric, do I think they're tanking? Oh, yeah. Maybe not the players, but the franchise, they're tanking. Are they wanting to move to Montreal? I'm not so sure about that. Do I think they should move to Montreal? Oh, yeah, they should absolutely move to Montreal. Because, look, that city wants a team. And the reason why they struggled, and it's been proven, is that they played in a horrible stadium in a horrible location. They were ready to build a new stadium there. The public was ready for it. I think if you move them back to Montreal, you'll see much better numbers than Tampa Bay. I know that's not saying much, but I think it would be good for baseball if they got out of there in general. And it doesn't help that Tropicana Field is in a terrible location. It's in St. Pete, so it's very far from where a lot of people be going. But I mean, regardless, it's just get baseball out of there. Just get it out. So yeah, I'm actually very, very glad you asked that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I agree.
So 5 minutes left in the show. Before we get to hot takes with Adam, we're going to bring up one more little thing that I mentioned earlier about Chris Bryant. As you guys remember, yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of his call-up. It's kind of hard to believe that it's been 3 years since Bryant was first called up. He was facing James Shields, the Padres that were supposed to contend that year, and then they just fell. But yeah, it was a memorable eventful day, even though it wasn't a very memorable performance. Eric, let's start with you. What do you remember most about that day?
Just the overarching hype of the day, I woke up that day, I had a smile on my face all day because it's like, Chris Bryant's here. I can't wait to see him play. And I do remember how he did strike out like 3 times, and I don't think he got his first hit until the next day, I don't think. A bloop single in the center.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was the next day.
Yeah.
And it took a while for him to hit his first homer, too, didn't it?
Yeah, he hit it in Milwaukee.
He didn't hit his first homer until a month later, I don't think.
Yeah, he still wound up with 26, but I was really hyped that day, too. I had the TV on an hour before the game. I was ready. But in the back of my mind, being a Cubs fan, I was bracing for failure and for him to not pan out, because that just seems to be the way things go most of the time. But this is new times, though. This is the winning Cubs, and he's slashing 289, 391, 529 so far in his career. He's only 4 home runs away from career number 100, so that's a big deal. But, yeah, I'm glad that this one panned out.
Yeah, for sure. It's an understatement to say that he's been really good. Okay, so quickly, 3 minutes left. Adam, do I dare to give you the floor?
Okay, so here's what I've got today. You should never, under any circumstances, put a tomato on your sub sandwich. Hot or cold, if you're putting tomatoes on a sub sandwich, you have effectively ruined them.
Ditto.
No way.
Ditto.
It's a cold day.
No tomatoes on my sandwiches.
Wow. I was fully prepared for you to disagree with that.
Listen, I will load my sandwiches with everything but tomatoes. Pickles, lettuce, onions, peppers, jarnera, anything. Any condiment but tomatoes.
A little lettuce is okay. Go light on the lettuce. No peppers. Onions, yeah, you can throw some onions on there, but the way to really ruin any food is with olives. If you put olives on anything, I won't go within 100 feet of it.
No. Eric, what are your thoughts?
Adam?
Yes?
We agree on a food take wholeheartedly. Olives are disgusting.
Yes!
Never in
oh,
olives.
My God.
You people are monsters.
2 in one day? Prepared for both of you to just vehemently disagree with that take, and I'm honestly a little disappointed because I was ready to just let you have it.
I
love olives, but I can't stand tomatoes.
I do disagree with the tomato take. Like, are you guys from America or?
Oh yeah, I'm the biggest patriot here.
Get out of here!
Tomatoes are okay by themselves. Put a little salt on a tomato, it's okay, but it's nothing to write home about. But don't put it on a sandwich, especially don't put it on a burger. Oh, my God.
No.
Don't ruin a burger with a tomato. Yeah, that should be a total offense.
What I do, my mom and I in the summer, I'll just just cut up some tomatoes and douse them in salad dressing. It's so good.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind those, but I could do without it.
Salad? I'll eat. If I'm with my family and they've prepared a salad for me, I'll kind of pretend like I'm eating it just so I don't look like a little boy at the table. But, you know, on my own, I'm never going to make a salad for myself.
Well, I would talk about how much I love salad, but unfortunately, we are out of time. Adam and Eric, I'd like to thank you guys for being part of this show. It was a lot of fun tonight.
It sure was. Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure having you, Eric. And Adam, I'm sure we will argue more next week about irrelevant stuff. So This has been the Cubby's Crib Podcast. We will see you next week. All right, boys. Signing off. I'll talk to you later.
Yep. See you later.
Yeah, that was fun. See ya.